an animal in order to solidify that agreement. Under the new covenant, of course, it's Jesus' blood. This is my blood of the new covenant. And so God has underscored his promises by a blood covenant that is like an agreement, a contract. It's a binding thing. And so when we say, should we trust God? Yes, we know we should trust God. But he has actually given us a contract that is written in the blood of Jesus that says you don't have to doubt that ever. It's there, and it's there for you. He signed his will in the blood of Jesus, which means it's irrevocable. So then he goes on to declare his will and what he expects. Because he said, hey, this is my part. I've done all this. Now what's your part? This is what it says. You will, as for you, you will keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you for generations to come. This is my covenant. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. So the outward reminder of this covenant is, in the old covenant, circumcision. In the new covenant, what would it be? Baptism. And you'll find many verses that connect those two. So the new covenant outward sign is baptism. So in our baptism, what we're doing is we're identifying with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. When we baptize, we die, we're buried, and we're resurrected as new creatures in Christ. And the baptism is an outward sign that we belong to him and that we can be part of his business, part of his kingdom. Our dues have been paid, and we can now participate in his kingdom. So God declares his will and makes his promises as part of this covenant. Abraham has promised a new home, a new country, and his descendants would become a great nation. Now that covenant is still operational today. Under the old covenant, I believe that Israel still has fulfillment, that the promised land has been given to them. However, it's even more than that. Listen to what Galatians says. He redeemed us in order that the blessings given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We are heirs of everything that has been established in the Old and New Covenant through Christ. Now, in the Old Covenant, they were looking forward to a promised land, a city, a physical place. But under the new covenant, he was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. The physical land was a prototype of the spiritual heavenly kingdom that God is giving to us as part of our inheritance. You and I are heirs, and we inherit all of that kingdom. I mean, isn't that pretty incredible? This is what God has made available to us. This is what he's given us. So we are heirs of that heavenly kingdom. But even more, look what it says, to your descendants from generation to generation. Now, I don't know about you, but I find that incredibly encouraging. That my children and their children's children and their children are actually part of this agreement, a part of this covenant. So all of you here, and I'm sure that there are many of us with many different experiences. We have children who love the Lord and walking in the Lord. There are probably children who are not, and grandchildren. This is a promise that I stand by, and I'm saying to Lord, this is what I'm believing for my children as part of that covenant promise, that my children and their children, and this will be the building up into your kingdom. That's a promise given, underscored by a covenant. I want to receive that. I hope you can as well. As we enter this relationship with all the promises and benefits, what does God want from us? This is what he says. I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will confirm my covenant with you. So what does he require? To be blameless. Okay, that's not hard, is it? Just be perfect. Just be blameless. In fact, under the new covenant, that's what we are given. We are justified so that when we stand before God, just as if we'd never sinned, we actually are. All our sins are taken away. We actually are blameless and perfect. However, there's also a process that we have to walk out called sanctification, where we have to walk out daily, one step at a time, that we have to walk out and continue to be blameless. Now, this seems impossible. When Abraham was told this, was told that he was going to be having a child, do you remember what his response was? It comes a little bit later in Genesis 17. He falls on his face and laughs. Like, really? And we know that Abraham made quite a few mistakes along the way. He tries to palm off his wife as his sister to save his own skin and all kinds of crazy stuff like that. As we read right throughout scriptures, our heroes of the faith are very human and fallible. I'm encouraged by that, because that means that I can make a fool of myself and yet still be seen to have faith. So all of us, with our imperfect faith, we are called to be faithful, and faithfulness and obedience are closely linked. Abraham was called to walk in faith and obedience, and that's what he did, and that's what he's remembered for. As we go through life, we take one step at a time, and I don't know if you've learned this, but as I go one step in obedience, God shows me the next step, and he reveals it as I take them each step. When I don't follow in obedience, he just waits for me to come back and learn the lesson, and then he reveals it, and we go the next step. But that's why some of us get stuck and some of us go around in circles, because we haven't learned the lesson that he's trying to teach us. So as we learn to be obedient, he reveals more to us, and we walk it out step by step in obedience and faith. Jesus says this, "Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Very similar to Abraham's call. Come and follow me, and I will make you. Jesus wants us to come and follow him, and then he's going to make us into the people that he wants us to be. He takes us in our unfinished, our unrefined, our sinful form, and then he starts to refine and transform and refine us into the image that he wants. I find that, again, incredibly encouraging, that he takes us and meets us where we are, and he has a purpose and a plan for us. So who does he want us to be? He wants us to give him the gifts that we have. If I'm a technician or an accountant or a sports player or a musician or a chef, as I give that to him, he can use that for his glory and for his kingdom. As I bring the traits that he's given me to be caring and driving and thoughtful and reflective and creative, as we bring them to him, he's able to use that for the building of his kingdom, to recreate us and make us into the people that we intended to be. And so Jesus, when I first came to follow him, I first came to know him, he invited me to come and follow him. I did. But it's still every day I'm invited to follow him. And here I am, whatever, 50 years later, and I've still been called to follow him. Come and follow me. And I can still choose to make a mess and do my own thing, and then he has to wait until I catch up again. But to each one of you here today, God is saying, come, follow me. I will make you. I will make you into the person I want you to be. And you know, the long-term result is this. He's going to make us into his image. That's what the goal is. Each one of us has been recreated and made into his image. What an incredibly encouraging sign for us. When I left my position at Church of Our Lord at the end of last year, I knew all about, I'd read about, when you retire, you got to be careful you don't do this, and you got to make sure you do this. And I had lots of activities and lots of interests, and I've discovered a new career called pickleball. Don't know if anyone knows what that is. But as a racket player, I love sports. So I've discovered a whole lot of other things. But there was a part of me that lost my identity. There was a part of me that so missed. 20 years of being with a congregation, and suddenly you have to leave to give the new guy a chance to settle in and reestablish connections. And I found it really hard. And I'm still in a bit of limbo, not sure what I am. I know who I'm. I'm still the same person. I am Rod. I'm called to be a pastor. I'm called to be a father. But I'm still looking now for a new direction as to where to plant my feet and where God wants me to serve. We came from a church where we had an incredible variety of missions. Besides a number of different congregations and services that met every Sunday, we had the DNA of our church was mission. From the time when Bishop Edward and Mary Cridge started the Cridge Center of the Family. Some of you will know what that is, but taking in orphans, and it's developed into this huge organization. Sanctuary Youth Center, Rob Trepanier, some of you, I don't know if anyone knows who he is, but he and I got together, and the Sanctuary Youth Center was started in our basement. Tim Schindel, who now works with politicians and parliamentarians, we got together, and Leading Influence Ministries was born, and ministering to the leaders of our community. He now goes across country. Jason Gertzen has taken over. Living Edge is an incredible ministry that ministers to the poor in our city. Every Sunday afternoon, there's a full meal given to over 100 people, full team providing that meal. And then during the week, started in one place over a year ago, it's now in 8 centers where groceries are distributed. And many of the churches that you're in relationship with, Emmanuel, Gateway, First Baptist, are all part of that. And a new one's coming out right here to where Saanich Baptist Church now meet. It used to be The Well. That'll be starting up in the fall. And I'm actually still involved in that. I'm chair of the board, and so still have some activities there. The Table is a church that started mainly to 20, 30-somethings, reaching out to younger folk with 2 incredibly gifted church planters. That's still going. Our son is now involved in that. And for those of you who don't wonder why I don't show up here a little more often, we actually worship at the Table where our son is pastor here in the central Saanich area. And so lots of different things. Malawi, Cuba, all different activities that spread out and we've been involved in. I'm now shut off from all that. And except one or two that I've managed to keep my hand in. And so, Lord, here I am, pastor, by the will of God, following Jesus Christ. What do you want me to do? You see, some of us reach different stages of life, and we say, okay, I'm suddenly my physical abilities are no longer as what they used to be. My mental abilities are not what they used to be. I don't have the finance resources I used to have. Lord, what am I meant to do? I am God Almighty. I will make you. And you can fill in the dots. What does God want to make of you today, this coming year? I'm going to invite you to pray with me. I'm not familiar. We all have different sort of styles and traditions. I hope you'll bear with me, work with me. I just want you to sit and be quiet and be still before God. And we're just going to invite the Holy Spirit to come. I've spoken a lot. Lord, just take the word that you want for each person here today and touch their hearts. Lord, we thank you that you are our Heavenly Father. You are our Almighty God. You are Abba to us. And Lord, we just come to worship you. We thank you, Lord, for your salvation. We thank you, Lord, for the covenant that you have written for us, that we can participate in your heavenly kingdom. Lord, I pray for everyone here, especially those who are fathers, grandfathers. Lord, touch them and use them and help them to minister to these young folk who you've trusted to our care. And so we pray for mothers, fathers, grandparents. Just bless them today. And Lord, we pray for our children and our grandchildren. We pray that you would guard their hearts and their minds. Lord, we're in a world today that they are being brainwashed and under such attack. We pray for guarding of hearts and minds. We pray for those who are facing new stages of life, including aging and ailing, for physical, mental, relational, residential challenges. Lord, we look to you, the one that we can trust to take us into these new stages of life. And Lord, as we look at the world stage, we pray for godly father figures for our society, for our church. We pray for the many pastors and leaders who faithfully preach your word week by week. We pray for those children growing up with absentee fathers, those with identity confusion, young folk making wrong choices. Lord, we pray that they would find somebody to come alongside, that you would turn their hearts to know you as their creator, savior, friend, Lord God Almighty. So, Lord, I thank you for this fellowship, for Peninsula Mission Community Church. We pray for Pastor Travis, for Dixie, as they return here next week, as they return to the pastorate and pulpit. Lord, just bless them as they come back from their sabbatical. Thank you for Pastor Larry, for Barbara, and for all who serve you in this church. Lord, make us into your image. Make us into the people that you want. Make us into the church that you desire. And let your will be done in and through us. I just close with this verse and let it seep into your spirit this week. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Amen.